Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. This is an occasion where resolves are compelled with Apostle Epha Emmanuel. As we behold God's Word today, we become the true reflection of His Word. You will be blessed.
There are kingdoms. Just pray. There are mountains and there are thrones. But only Yeshua who reigns forever. Just tell Him thank you wherever you are. Thank you for life. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for mercy. Only Yeshua who reigns forever. To His kingdom there will be no end. Since to His kingdom there'll be no end. To my rising there'll be no end. To His kingdom there'll be no end. To your increase there'll be no end. Oh, Father, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Every time I come here and I'm emphasizing the counsel of God to us, many of the things I share with us, they are emphases from the Spirit. They are not matters that I interacted with cerebrally. I didn't read these things anywhere. They are burdens the Lord funneled upon my spirit. Some of them are tokens of encounters. Some you have spiritual encounters, and the only thing left inside your soul as a residue of that participation are things that you need to sit down with the scripture so that you start arranging your burdens together. As you are arranging that burden, you will now look for a title for it. So it's not a sermon they give you. You interacted with life. But in that economy of life, you will need to use words to describe what you interacted with. Most of the times, people think it's message we are teaching. We are broadcasting life. And it is a summon for people to also experience and desire that intimate walk with the Holy Spirit. There is a burden for purity, a burden for holy living, a world that is actually tilted towards corruption. There is a summon for men and women who will live blameless before God. And there is nothing more pleasing to God, because obedience is better than sacrifice. It does not matter how much you are willing to give to God. It does not matter all the errands and the sacrifice you want to make. If your life is not in tandem with His will, God says He would rather have you live in holiness than for you to make sacrifice. He would rather have you live holy before Him than for you to be a worker in the church. All those years of service counts for nothing if you are not holy.
holiness. Let's take flight tonight. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, the Bible began to show us a very popular scripture which I want to dwell a bit on tonight, just to emphasize a few things that are not usually seen at the surface. Please, if you are with me, can we read together at the count of two? One, two, go. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be... Listen, after you, what punctuation mark do you see there? Huh? A column, right? A full column. What is the use of a column? To further expand, right? To shed more light. Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Then they said, this is to the end. This is what this encounter will produce. And you shall be witnesses. Meaning the whole essence of power is to make us witnesses. Meaning the whole errand of power is to make us able representatives of the kingdom of God. Meaning the whole message of power is to make us ambassadors of God's kingdom. But there is another thing I want to point out from this scripture. That if we will ever be witnesses, it says we would receive power and the Holy Ghost will also come upon us. But that it will happen in this protocol, that the Holy Ghost will come first, then you will receive power. It says, ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Deliberately showing you the protocol of the encounter. Meaning, the condition to receive power is that the Holy Ghost must first come upon you. If I say, I will give you this mic after I have given you my jotter, I'm saying that the condition, the prerequisite for teaching this mic is that my tab must be given to you first. Are we together? Ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Meaning, the criteria to be a witness is that both the Holy Ghost and power must have happened to you. Are we together? And there is a reason why they were separating the Holy Ghost from power. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Two separate encounters. Deliberately separating it. And still reemphasizing that the first that must happen to you is the Holy Ghost. Meaning, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, his errand in your life is to animate the character of God. So that everything you are reading, your own life become a proof. Even if they burn the Bible, your life is a proof of the very nature, the very character of God. And I said that character is summarized with the sentence, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Meaning, the moment this Holy Ghost, they said, will come upon you, comes, he begins to walk out the character of God from your life. And that character is a summation of the fruit of the Spirit. One of the first things he begins to do, he begins to stir love inside you. Because all the powers of corruption of this world, all the weight of corruption of this world, the strongest of their grip is built around lust. And the only thing strong enough to dethrone lust from your life is love. So the Holy Ghost starts from the place where all other commandments are hinged upon. Because this is the first and the greatest, love. Are we together? It means that before he will approve us to become witnesses, there are two certifications that must happen in our life. One is the summation of the fruit of the Spirit, which is a proof that you have received the Holy Ghost. And I said that Holy Ghost we are speaking about, that is the person you received at salvation. As you say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. It is the very Spirit of God that entered you. Now, that Spirit will begin to engineer the very nature of God inside you. If you don't know this, you will not know what to be looking at as a proof that you are growing spiritually. So, you can be growing, but your eye are on the wrong indices. So, while you are supposed to be seeing love, joy, peace, temperance, self-control, meekness, while you are supposed to be seeing faith, your eye will be looking at things like prophecy, healing, working of miracles, the gift of tongues, all of these things, they are going to be yours.
but the right indices to measure spiritual growth with as a proof that the Holy Ghost now resides within you, they are the fruits of the Spirit. It means if you do not have this fruit, the Holy Ghost is not in you. Because the proof that He is in you is the fruit of the Spirit. The gift can be there and He is not in you. Because a gift is no longer controlled. Look at me. If I give you a car now, is it still my car? If you choose to abuse the car that I gave you, is it not your power to do so? That's why men can abuse the very power of God on their life. Because they are the gifts of the Spirit. A gift has been entrusted to you. You use it as you now will. But if you are wise, you will honor the person who gave it to you by how you are using it. So if I'm treasuring something, it's important to me, I now transferred it to you. Then I now saw you. Maybe it's probably my best shoe and I gave to you. The next thing I saw you wearing it inside rain and using it to do some strange work. You know, a brother called me and was complaining the other day. He said people are ungrateful. I said, what happened? Can you imagine that the clothes that they sold for him too, he took one and gave one brother. That he came and saw the brother using the cloth on Saturday at home. That is it not a Sunday cloth? I said, look, listen. It's no longer your clothes. You have given it out. So stop following up how they are using the cloth. He said he saw it there. They wore it on Saturday morning. That no, that cloth is Sunday. That's the reason why the gift of God is merchandised and God didn't take it from the people still. It's because it's a gift. It means that the gift is not the litmus test of the presence of the Holy Ghost. It is the fruit. That's why he says you will receive power quite alright, but that power will come after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. If you begin to walk in sin and transgression, gift will not live. It's fruits that will live. So anytime you want to see a person who has backslidden, you will look for fruit you will not see, but you can still find gift. A backsliding man, you will look at his life, no self-control, no love, no peace. But check, you will still see one or two spiritual giftings still operational. Because long before judgment happens, God can reject a man. But he can still be hanging around. If you use these indices, we will measure on the major things of the Spirit. It means if the fruits of the Spirit are captured adequately in your life, one of the things it will qualify you for is that you yourself now have become the message. Those of you who were around on Sunday, I was teaching us about the concept of Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and then to the uttermost part of the world. Jesus is sending many people from Samaria and Judea back to Jerusalem. He's calling them back. He's calling them. They say, we want to shake the world. Jesus said, let me shake you first. I have not conquered you. You want to conquer nations. The work starts from Jerusalem. You know who does that work in Jerusalem? The Holy Ghost. In Jerusalem, He animates the fruits of the Spirit in your life. He makes your life compliant to the things you are about to tell others. He makes that everything God demands from you, He animates the nature of God on your inside. However, to be an effective witness for God, both the presence of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit must be captured. So I take it one more time. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Ye shall receive power. Please say power. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So it means the Holy Ghost will come, power will come, then you shall be witnesses. If you have fruits and you have no gift, your capacity to witness is limited. It means that there are places you cannot talk. When we start heading towards Samaria and we start entering into the uttermost part of the world, you will realize that the only avenue for witnessing is the gifts of the Holy Ghost.
as you journey into Samaria, at least Judea is your in-group, your family, your wife, your husband, they know you. So at Judea is the fruit of the Spirit that God is using to draw many. Because in Judea, they are not moved by what you say, they are moved by how you live. And the challenge in Judea is see finish and familiarity. Man of God, to your church, you are an apostle. To your wife, you are a husband first. To your children, you are a father first. And that father that you are, have more time than the apostle that you are. So, we will now go to church. They will drop all familiarity aside, relate with you as apostle for a while. But church is only 4 hours. We'll go back again to being a father. Do you understand my point? Now, what it means is that there are different ways Judea will relate with you. There are people today, if they get up now and say, we have not been serious with God in this family, now we'll start, the wife will start laughing first. my husband. Just wake up from sleep and say, 21 day fast start from today. Oh, I've forgotten the name of the patriarch. He said he told his wife he wanted to go and seek God. The wife went to kitchen. She knew that in a few minutes he will come. And like play, she was baking something. He now left the prayer room where he said, I die here. Now came out. What's that you are cooking again? Judea knows you. So your witness to Judea is not what you are saying, it's how you are living. Judea is looking at the way you are living. Just imagine you are lying down on a bed with somebody, and every day 12:30 you got up. Man, there's no attack in the family. It's not because of attack. A day will come, they will start feeling guilty to be asleep when you are praying. So as you are praying, you will now hear one voice by your side. You have witnessed. That's how you witness to Judea. Your life compels them to join you. But when we start entering Samaria, it's no longer your lifestyle. It is the capacities of God you can wield. Because inside Samaria, there is no time to live together for long. They are not your in-group. They are not personal with you. These are people you meet at work only within working hours. These are people you connect with at the market only at the point of transaction. These are people that are a part of the systems that you operate with. It means that since we don't have the advantage of time, we need to hit hot quickly. You know the challenge of Samaria? Samaria is distracted. Samaria has a very short attention span. So if you must capture Samaria, something spectacular, something out of the natural, something divine must flow from your life. I studied the life of Jesus and I saw the way he witnessed at different capacity. If Jesus enters a city, the only publicity is to do a miracle. He will walk a sign. Immediately, the next thing you will read, a multitude followed him. Now, that miracle is a sign. He used that sign as his own signboard. So the moment people gather, then he starts teaching them the way of the kingdom. It means before they will hear the message, something must bind their attention. Oh, when we wander into Samaria, what you will find are sick bodies. Nobody will call you pastor when you enter that job first. In the office, everybody is a colleague. Until you pray for one sick colleague, then that one tell the other person. Suddenly, they will edit your name that they saved on their phone. And put PST first. You know what PST means? It's a short form of pastor. Then, when you now collide with them on a personal note and give them one or two solutions that transcend human faculties, they will now go back to that name that they wrote PST and write it full. PASTOR. As of now, they still don't know you. When they now see a particular area of gifting at work in your life, they will now streamline your identity in the spirit. That's where they now put you in one of the fivefold office. Oh, you see, the weight of our witness it becomes larger and larger as we go from Jerusalem to the uttermost part of the world. But many people don't know yet that as you are going from Jerusalem, it's like you are rehearsing. There is a way you arrive at the uttermost part of the world because you did not witness to Jerusalem, which is to domesticate the yearning of your own carnal nature. That thing will now alter the capacity of your witness in the uttermost part of the world. This is why people go to nations and then a scandal breaks out on their life, because Jerusalem was not conquered. I'm actually addressing a sensitive matter tonight. There are many people Jesus is calling back to Jerusalem. Come back. Come, let me animate myself in you first. The way a mother hen sits upon an egg, let me sit on you for a while. I'm the one that want to send you. I need you more than you want to do ministry. So just come for a while. Some people, this is the deliverance God have for them. Close all that thing you are doing first. Let God kill the yearning of corruption that is brewing within you. You know yourself. And the only lie you can lie is to people. Because you, in your heart of hearts, you know the kind of strange thoughts that crosses your mind. You know the desires that are resident in you 24 hours. So you can tell that corruption is still inside. At Jerusalem, he wants to master you. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of the Lord, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. In Jerusalem, he wants to conquer you. He wants to conquer your body. He wants to conquer your carnal nature. He wants to dispel and rebuke every Adamic trait that is still inherent in you. Now, I'm telling you this because Satan actually loves for people to be in Judea, to be in Samaria, to be at least in the uttermost part of the world and escape Jerusalem, because he knows that their life eventually will bring ridicule, it will bring shame, it will bring disrepute to the name of the Lord. I want to give you a minute before we continue tonight. Lord, search me and try me. See if there be any wicked way in me. Take me back to the place of intimacy, to the secret place, to the realm of Koinonia, where you animate your nature in the lives of men. Bring me back to the place where you sign your signature on the destinies of men. Take away corruption from me. Take away contamination from me. Separate me from the guile of my generation. Can you pray where you are? I want to be a genuine witness. I want to be an effective tool in your hand, oh God. Make me true, make me real, make me genuine. Jesus sent us out as witnesses. Not bishops, not pastors, not prophets, not apostles, not evangelists, not teachers, witnesses. It means every believer is mobilized into this enterprise. Every believer is conscripted. Witnesses. If you are on the keyboard, you are a witness on the keyboard. Hey! You are cleaning chairs, you are a witness. Everywhere you are, your life is communicating the gospel non-verbally first. Then as we continue to grow in the rank, he gives you the ability to communicate him to larger groups. Ye shall be witnesses. So that you too can say, that which we have seen, that which we have heard, that which our hands have handled, of the word of truth, we commend to you.
wants to come to you personally first. Before you talk about him, he wants to reveal himself to you. He wants you to know him. It was Moses that said, who will I say sent me? Who will I tell Pharaoh sent me? I have heard the message, yes. I have heard what you want me to do, yes. But who will I say sent me? The Acts of the Apostles, I studied the Gospels, I studied the work of the early church, and I realized something quite profound, something quite different from what we currently observe. Listen, give me your attention if you can. Let me show you a scripture. Acts chapter 6, verse 5. We're going to read verse 5 and then we'll go to verse 8. But in verse 5 is where I want your attention. Look carefully at what was being said here. Acts chapter 6 and in verse 5. Everybody, can we read as loud as we can? 1, 2, go. And they say, Wait. Let's continue. 1, 2, go. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the what? And Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of what? Antioch. When they talked about Stephen, they told you his credential as at the time they chose him. A man full of faith and what? Come on, say it with me. A man full of what? And what? It means as at the time that they were bringing these men into responsibility, They wanted you to know where his journey started from. That if you related with Stephen, what you will meet him is a man that has faith. And he is also full of the presence of the Holy Ghost. So what the apostles actually discern by the presence of the Holy Ghost are visible proofs. Fruits. There is a way your behavior should be if the Spirit lives inside you. If the Holy Ghost is in you, it's not tongue that is their evidence. If you like between mama, mama, mama. If you are a thief, you don't have the Holy Ghost. You can be doing barakada barakadara and you are a fornicator. Immorality is still drowning you. Now, the question I want to ask you, which should provoke you? How did you find a way to combine the Holy Spirit and sin together? How did you finally find a way to convince yourself that you carry him and you are still a sinner? How did you secretly convince yourself that he lives inside you and sin is still the natural flow of your life? That if you are righteous, it's once in a while. But the more pronounced disposition around your life is the way of corruption. How did you psych yourself that he lives on your inside when you know in your heart of hearts that iniquity is your natural inclination? The early apostles will not accept your definition. They are proof that you have the Holy Spirit are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So when they call the name Stephen, they say a man full of faith. He has the capacity to believe what God says he is. He has the capacity to accept what God calls a matter. But then when you go to verse 8, they mention Stephen again. This time they updated his CV. No longer a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost. When you arrive at verse 8, they say, and Stephen, full of faith and power. So that Holy Ghost that produced fruit of the Spirit can also release power of the Spirit. So his journey is first fruit of the Spirit. This is what the Holy Ghost will do. But now he will release power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So this is what is happening. In 6 verse 5, he says full of faith and the Holy Ghost. In 6 verse 8, he says full of faith. And that place where you saw the Holy Ghost before, they now replaced it with what? Power. It means that the more you labor diligently, you labor deliberately, in being more like God, just living to be like him, just living to animate his nature, you don't need to look for power. Power will start flowing naturally. One day you will enter a place. You know how I knew that power was open in my life? I was an usher in FCS, just minding my business. I was an FCS usher. My designation is clean the chair, arrange the chairs, and then God's people will come and sit down. While cleaning the chairs, I was also a part of prayer band in Koinonia. So our labor is to pray diligently, I think, every Tuesday there. I didn't know that as you are engaging these things, just loving God, just exercising your spirit with the exercise that is brought to you per time. I was entering on a certain day to Chapel of Redemption, ABU Zaria, Samaru campus, never forgot. And a particular fellow usher like me that was always been in the ushering team where they used to post us to different positions. I was entering that day, tired from my lecture, obviously, rushing to come and catch the meeting. The moment I walked into our gathering, we used to stand and have pre-service prayer before they scatter us to our respective locations for our duty. I was just entering that our midst where prayer is happening, and the lady looked at me. The moment her eye looked into my eye, she shouted and removed the scarf she put on her head and began to run out of the chapel. When people ran to apprehend her, she started confessing. So something now whispered to me. See, the days of the apostles are here. You know, every time power moves, Satan will bring pride immediately. Those days, there is nothing Satan didn't try around.
I will be praying inside chapel. Me and my guys, we are praying together in chapel, chapel premises. Then I left chapel, came out of chapel, took a bike from front of chapel to Suleiman Danfodio hostel. I got to Danfodio hostel, went to take a bucket out, carried a few clothes that I needed to wash, started washing them. Some brothers said that, are you not the one we just saw in chapel just now? I said, yes, I'm the one. They said, so how did you get to the hostel before us? I wanted to talk. They said, no, the days of the apostles are here again. Listen, stay with me. I want to show you how Satan does his things. The brother was vowing that I teleported, and he started telling people in my front that he knows that I'm a humble person, so I will not agree, but that the truth of the matter is I actually teleported. That he saw me just, no way I will be in the... The devil said I should keep quiet. Just say all glory belongs to God. Meanwhile, God will not take that glory. You know what I told him? I said, I got the chance. Somebody gave me a lift from the front of the chapel to the hostel. That's why I got here very early. That's why I'm washing clothes when you are arriving. He said, hey, but no. Those were the days. Prayer will be going on, and they will ask me, can you conclude for us? When I say, in the name of Jesus, the energy in the place will jack up. The people who are trying to conclude prayer, they will now hold hands and want to stay longer. They enjoyed the wave of glory that I emitted. I began to sense the movement of power. This one, I'm telling you, it only can be experienced. You can't read it into your life. You just love God. Just stay trying to be like Him. As you are trying to be like Him, a time will come, you will realize the things that made you stranded yesterday, you surmount them easily now. Power is beginning to be quickened. I'm saying this because I wanted to also show you that there is no specific limitation to the particular gift you can operate. Any area that you put pressure on, that gift will start opening up. It means if Jesus wants you to witness to a people here now, and the only way to assessing their hearts because of the posture of unbelief that they sustain is that there is a need for a miracle to be performed. For the sake of your witnessing, this is not I have the gift of healing or I have the working of miracle. You have it all, but you have to put pressure on what you need per time. So for that particular errand of witness that is now in front of you, you will need to move in healing or the working of miracles. This is why people don't pressure themselves, because they have concluded in their hearts that this is what I have, this is what I don't have. Meanwhile, it is the need per time that quickens what flow from you. There are places you stand, it is prophecy that is flowing. And if you know this, you will see that all of the 9 gifts are at your disposal as you will need per time. God cannot send you to be a witness and limit your witnessing capacity. No. If I come to an intellectual audience now, you will see what God will open in me. The word of wisdom will come. You will think I have studied everything I'm speaking about. No, they are giving me in downloads. They know it's what I need for this witness. So you travel with me. We go from region to region, place to place. If you are not careful, you will be thinking that the grace is changing. It's not changing. It's the witness you are bringing per time. It puts pressure and it demands withdrawal. So all are available to you. If you can see it this way, it will be limitless. And I told us that what we call power is actually the gifts of the Spirit. That display of the gifts. When you see somebody just look at you now, say, Do I know you before? You say no. Say, have we ever met? You say no. Say, I'm seeing John Paul. Guess what he will say? Next
anything you hear is right on, Papa.
Now, you know what? That thing that they are doing there, they are relating to prophecy as power. Because sometimes, okay, have you ever heard the hype men of prophets, saying power after a prophetic word is given? You just say, I see Obed. Obed, who is Obed? Then you now say, hey, it's my father's name. Then you now hear the hype man say, power. It's prophecy. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. Are we together? That's the same way. Healing is also a gift. Working of miracle is also a gift. Now, a person is lame, and I say in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. When he gets up, people will say, the power of God. Do you understand? But the Holy Ghost is drawing our attention this night that the power of God is not only the gift of the Holy Spirit. The power of God is also the fruit of the Holy Spirit. There is a layer of power that gives you ability to live above the craving of your carnal nature. In John chapter 1 verse 12, it says, but as many as receive him, to them he gave power to become. So there is a power that help you become. Become means to defend the name child of God you are bearing. If you are bearing child of God, your life must defend that nature. So there is a power supplied to live as a child of God in a generation that is corrupted. There is a power deployed to help you go against the tide and not be corrupted. It is that power that makes you fit to be an able witness. Now, many people don't know that they walk in power yet, because their eye is only looking at the gifts of the Spirit. But they do not know that love is power. They don't know that self-control is power. That there is something that everybody got a temptation for and they fell. You, it came to you. You said, get behind me, Satan. The suggestion came. The appetite was stirred inside you. I mean, everything has been set for the iniquity to happen. But you gathered your vessel and walked away from it. It's power. That thing you see, the Spirit call it power. It's the power to become. We journey from the power to become into other corridors of power. But the particular place where you are guaranteed for eternal destination is the power to become. Is that power that makes you one with the nature of God? Is that power that makes you rebuke iniquity? Is that power that makes you reject even yourself? You can now deny yourself. When Jesus says, who is it that wants to come after me? Let him deny himself. That denying yourself, it takes power to tell yourself no. You want to grow in power? Concentrate gradually. Allow the fruits of the Holy Ghost. Let it find expression on your inside. Measure your love life. Check, am I walking in love? Check how easily offended you are. You will know when love has happened. Even people will tell you that, car, you have changed. I expected you to react. What has happened to you is love. Love is a nature inside you. That thing you see there is power. Is power to control your emotion when you are already provoked, but you couldn't behave as you will. It takes power to tame you. Say, I'm powerful. Come on, say it. I'm powerful. Okay. I know it sounds somehow. Now say, I carry power. That's what we like in our generation. I carry power. The power of God lives on my inside. The power of God is at work in me. You know what it means? It means that I'm only growing from one expression of power to another. The power that people will clap for tomorrow, it's not the first time I started walking in power. I already walked in power personally. I already walked in power privately. I already walked in power as a way to go against the corruption that seeks to dominate me.
Then there is now a public manifestation of power. Let me show you a few things I believe God will use to bless us tonight. Come, time is not on our side. Five aspects of power the believer must operate in. Five aspects of power the believer must operate in. Number one, the power to become. The power to become. Lord, I have tried it on my own. I have tried everything I know to do. I have tried all my formulas. I have tried all my ideas. I continue to fall short of your glory. I continue to break your laws. Can you help me live righteous? You see, what you're asking for is the power, the enabling grace, the enabling capacity of God to help you stand. Now, that kind of power is only available for people who have come to the end of themselves. The more you are trying to use resolution, determination, vows, God will be deliberately bringing you to a conclusion that I cannot help myself. That power I speak about is only available for people who have embraced the helplessness of their fallen nature. Then you actually come into the knowledge of the scripture. It is God who is at work in us, both to will and to do of his good nature. That work he's doing is power he's deploying. He's using power to activate his nature. The power to become. And the scripture that anchors that is John chapter 1 and in verse 12. I had shared with us this in previous times, just feel the need to buttress on them a little. While we are talking about the five aspects of power that I believe a believer must operate to have an effective witness, we must also consider the dimensions of power. Because once you give your life to Jesus and you receive him as Lord and personal Savior, for many people, they don't know what next. So the next thing they start doing, they start looking for the promises of God in Bible and start enforcing it in their life. Start testifying about the things that have happened and calling God faithful till they die and go to heaven. That is the average life of a believer. Meanwhile, the real errand that God wanted to achieve deploying power to us is to make us representatives so that we can communicate the same message that brought us into kingdom, so that through us those who are in darkness can come to the light, meaning that you were saved to save others, and that God intended that after you have received salvation, you will also become a minister of reconciliation. You will be bringing many also unto righteousness. But it will not be possible if your life does not mirror the message. It will not be possible if the abilities of God is not at work in your life. That's where we talk about the presence of the Holy Ghost and the power of the Holy Ghost. If we now work diligently in this aspect, it means that you must be deliberate about looking at if our life is fruitful or not. Are there people who are turned from corruption into righteousness, called from darkness into light on account of our life? We have gone from January, now we are in March. No soul yet. They are not a witness. Nobody is actually modeling their life after yours because they have seen something that is worth emulating. There is nobody you have spoken deliberately to about Jesus. You are not witnessing. But we were called to become witnesses. That everybody, anywhere you find yourself, any place you are at time, you are the witness over that space. And I have taken time on Sunday
and a little part of today to show us that the errand of power and the power that we speak about is both the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. That the compendium of these two forms what the operation of power is. To grow in power means to grow in the fruits as well. To grow in power means to grow in the gift as well. So it means when we leave meetings like this, we must deliberately begin to put pressure on different giftings in our life. How would you know if healing flows through you if you don't pray for the sick? How would you know if workings of miracles can happen through you if you don't try to create intervention in the ordeal of men? How would you know if the word of wisdom is at work in you if you don't open your mouth to lend solution to people when they are in crisis? People sometimes come to meet us and the things they are sharing with us, we don't know what to say, but the moment we open our mouth, he fills it up. Sometimes you will just be telling the Holy Ghost, help me. The things they are sharing, you have no idea. Then you open your mouth. He says, open your mouth and I will fill it up. As you open your mouth, you will now start wishing somebody press record. Because the thing is coming from you, you will say, hey, now me, they talk like this. Because your consciousness will be analyzing what you are saying. You will know, my brain did not know this thing before now. So they bypass your brain. It's not your brain. It's a spirit that is whispering through you. As you continue to throw yourself in those situations, a day will come, people will say, that's a man that carried the wisdom of God. You know what they are saying? They are saying, we have seen in him the operation of the word of wisdom. But in you, the Holy Ghost will leave you still humble, because you will know that I don't know what they are talking about. If only you know how I was feeling that day that I was advising you. It's the gifts of the Spirit. Sometimes a minute before you pray for the sick, you will be full of fear. Doubt will cloud your mind. Will it work? Will it not work? What if they say I'm a false prophet? Many questions in your mind. Then you move in the midst of that fear, in the midst of that doubt. In the name of Jesus, every spirit of infirmity, lose them and let them go. You know what? That's all God wants you to do. Just talk. Just talk. Can I share something with you? Do you think it's only you that is feeling this way? Even the apostles of old, they were feeling like this. They did most of the mighty things they did with some level of doubt inside their mind. These are the same people praying that God orchestrate a divine intervention. Let Peter be released. They have already beheaded James. They were praying. God answered their prayer. They say it's a lie. It's not Peter. The small girl went and checked the door and said, Peter is outside. The Peter we are praying for now is outside. They say it's not Peter. It's his angel. It means they didn't even have the confidence to believe what they are praying for. Oh, it's not only you. As you stand in front of that case, your leg is shaking. Still talk. Even if your voice, in the name of Jesus, talk! The authority is in the name, it's not in your voice. Carry the name with you. I'm trying to show you that you don't need to wear a suit to operate the gift of the Holy Spirit. When I studied the template of the early church, I realized we have limited the Holy Spirit because we want to see his hand inside the building. The early church, they don't need venue to operate the gift of the Holy Ghost. The street was their theater. They collided with a man. Silver and gold I have not, but such as I have, I give to you. In the name, you see? In the name. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. They spend from the name. You know what happens? Now we become more conscious of God's hand when we enter church. When the keyboard is playing, when the cymbal is splashing, then we now say, I feel the power of God in this place. You don't feel power, you know power. It's a consciousness you carry. They wake you up. You don't need to feel it. It means without midday. Oh, midday, I don't need you to walk in the spirit. Any day, Satan tell you that, Kai, this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm not going to come today. Make I see how it go. How flow.
can cast out demons with t-shirt. Yeah. You can wear polo shirt and heal the sick. Remove your eye from Habakkuk Hall. Focus your gaze back to the street. That's where mission is happening. Missions. When we gather here, we are feeding, we are enriching ourselves, we are edifying ourselves to prepare to go back again to where the work is. Some of you come here week in, week out, week in, week out, week in, week out. For 1 year, you have never withdrawn from the rich gift of God on your life. You know what I mean? You have never withdrawn. You have never put yourself in any situation to pressure that operation in your life. Did you collect money from anybody? Why are you afraid to pray for them? What if it does not work? Are you the first person that prayed and nothing happened? Do you know how many people are coming to meet me and telling me they went to social? Sometimes when they call the names of the men that they've gone there, they've prayed, but now they're just trusting God. Do you think the people you are clapping for, do you think it's everybody they prayed for that was healed? Why are you lying to yourself? Put pressure. Please tell somebody, whisper to them, say, put pressure. Oh, put pressure. Next time when you are meeting your friend and you see him coming from that speaker side, enter your spirit quickly. Lord, tell me what he's thinking right now. What is in his heart? You know what you are pressurizing? Prophecy. You are putting pressure. When you see somebody, they want to introduce you to the person. Start pressuring yourself. Lord, what is his name? What is his name? Start searching your spirit. Which name is popping up? Then the person finally shakes hands with you and say, I am Joseph. But you, your spirit head, Joe. You now say, we are near. As at that time, don't go and print any signboard yet. Wait. Whisper to somebody, sharpen the gift, sharpen it, pressure it. Sometimes you enter the altar of prayer after 1 hour, 2 hours, you come out briefly, check the measure of faith inside your spirit. You know how you check the measure of faith? Think about the thing that made you fear yesterday. Think it. If fear didn't come again, even as you are thinking it, you have stared in faith. Faith is itself is a gift. There is the gift of faith. It's only one baby that is understanding what I'm saying now. Put pressure. A day will come. There will be, you see, the first initial fear you used to have is because we are still learning at the work. When you operate it once, twice, three times, four times, the time will come. The doubt, even if there is just 1%. That's the day you can now stand on the pulpit. Don't try this at home. And now say, you come with boldness. You know why? You have killed your bear in the secret. You have killed the lion in the secret. You don't try new things on big stages. Don't try it. Somebody called me the other day and said, please, Apostle, join your faith with my own faith. I'm at the mortuary now. Please just join your faith with me. Sir, you are on loudspeaker. I say, I can hear the sound of an audience that he carried, hearing the spectators come and see. Let's go and raise the dead. When he went there, started trying, the thing did not work. So now, what his way of escape now is to find a way to bring another respected minister of God. Let that one also pray. Let it not work. Then, and I say, well, But say she was a believer before she died. They'll now say yes. You now say then she's in heaven. Yes. When I heard join your faith with my faith, I wanted to say, you don't have faith. You don't have faith. Have you seen a man with faith before? You think he's mad. I was reading a miracle that was performed by Smith Wigglesworth. He carried a dead man up, jack him, and hit him on the wall. The body fell down. He carried the body again, jammed it on the wall. The people that their loved one died was offended by the way he was bullying the dead body. Boom! Hit it. The body, like, he carried it, hit it. Third time, hit it. The person jack up.
It's fatal. Don't try it at home. You just get up and start jacking dead bodies. They will fall on you. There is something inside him that cannot accept death at that situation. You know why? He knows something that the brain cannot understand. So even if his brain is showing him all the report of his five senses, I mean, from your five senses, you can feel the body is cold. You can see that the body is dead. You can actually see hear the quietness in the whole place. All the report of his five senses, notwithstanding, faith swallowed it up. Faith gave him a reason to insist this thing has happened already. He bullied the body on the corner until he came alive. That is faith. You know what you do sometimes? You know how to operate this gift by beginning to observe the tributaries that steer them inside you. If you are a man who operates faith, you must know how faith is steered. Some of you is prayer, some of you is songs, some of you is to remember a particular deliverance God wrought in your life. The moment you remember it, God rises inside you as a man of war. It means there is an altar that has been built in your spirit. Every time you revisit that altar and say, the God that delivered me from this situation, I know that I know God will get up. Your spirit will be charged. What do you think was happening inside David as was running against Goliath? He said, the God that gave me the bear, the God that gave me the lion, that God will give me you, uncircumcised Philistine. Meaning he was young. He had no advantage by military comparison. But if you find that small boy charging against a man of war, it can only be by faith. Do you realize that when they were taking us through the archives of the Hall of Faith, they started from the Old Testament? Meaning faith is not a New Testament reality. Even them of old journeyed inside faith. How can you charge against a giant? If Goliath is running towards you, you'll be feeling the ground shaking. You'll be hearing kum, 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 that is coming. You are running against death. You are running towards death. You are running towards death. Somebody that was talking and a whole army were fidgeting for 80 days. 40 days rather. For 40 days. An army, including your king, was hiding. Now, I'm trying to paint a picture in your heart. Imagine one small boy with anger running against that giant. It's the spirit of faith. Faith. Is that spirit you will use and break the protocol of captivity in your family. One day you will just get up and something in you will just steer a posture. The only way to describe that is enough is enough. It's a holy vexation. It will pump you into work. Now, I'm saying this to show you that if you don't put pressure on any gift, you can't withdraw from it. Meanwhile, look at your hands, please, wherever you are. Say these words with me. These hands will wrought signs and wonders. These hands will perform miracles. Say, my tongue is a prophetic tool. Say, the word of wisdom is in my lip. Say, my heart receives the word of knowledge. Say, faith is rich in my heart. Listen. I'm telling you this. I'm trying to show you that you are heavily fortified. You cannot be stranded. Just put pressure on that gift. I disabuse that notion. This is my own. All is yours. All. You can withdraw any that you want. Don't settle somewhere and say, okay, if it is this matter, how did you know that the gift of healing was operational in your life? Is it not as you were praying for the sick? Were you not first steered by the lives of the people who walked in that gift that you read in books or you listened to in messages? Did you have any way to know that as they formed you in the studio of eternity, that they gave you healing? No. It's not given to anybody. Everybody has access to 9 of it. It is the particular area you are staying. That's what people will now tag you and say, this person has.
Your boss says, Kai, sorry, I will not be at work today. I just called to notify you guys. So please make sure everything goes as planned. I'm not feeling too strong. Instead of, hey, yeah, ma, can I pray with you? Feel free. Sir, please, if you don't mind, can I pray with you? Nobody declines prayer. Nobody declines prayer. Why not? Please. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke the spirit of infirmity. I proclaim your healing and recovery in the name of Jesus Christ. Do like this. Amen. Because they don't want to believe that you are a man of God. Then that's more. Amen. You now realize that after they dropped the phone, the same person that was catching cold now started sweating. You say it's not. It's a coincidence. It's a coincidence. But guess what? From that day, the allocation of responsibility in the institution, your boss will start treating you with a little caution. Little caution. You are becoming a witness gradually. Time is not. Can we bow our heads? Your mission field is your job. Your mission field is your business. Your mission field is your classroom. He's sending us into all the mountains of influence. Wherever you find yourself, witness to that place quickly. Don't hold back. Don't say you are small. Don't undermine yourself. The grace of God is rich in your life. Pray where you are. Holy Spirit, saturate me with your presence. Animate your fruits in my life. Produce your nature in me. Of the spirits, just begin to pray them one after the other upon your life. Holy Ghost, let your love find unhindered expression upon my life. Help me to walk in love, boundless love. The same way you love, help me to love that way. Quicken your joy on my inside. I want to know that joy, that joy. That joy only you can give. Steer your peace. Your peace.
have self-control. I easily break your laws. Things easily get me down. Steer self-control. Give me capacity to rise above the craving of my flesh.
Listen. Jesus says, if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and you love your neighbor the way you are loving your own self, he says you have fulfilled the whole law and the prophets. If I love you, I will not gossip you. If I love you, I will not covet your own things. If I love you, I will not harm you. If I love you, I will bear much from you because I have loved you. I will forgive many things. Love is a default mode that secures the believer. And if the Holy Ghost produces love, he has helped you to conquer many things. Many things are swallowed up inside love. Help me to love. These are the things the elders used to pray for months. A man is on one matter. Lord, shed love in this heart. Love. When he comes out from that retreat, you too, you will know that something has changed in this man. He carries love as a badge. Love. That love he carries now steers compassion towards the afflicted. Somebody comes and says, for 2 days now, I have not slept because of oppression at night. The other person will say, what did you do that you started? When did this start? Started investigating the person. Another person will say, hey, can we pray together? Love is steering response because of love. Do you realize that every time Jesus is doing a miracle or creating intervention in the life of people, you hear the Bible says, Jesus moved by compassion. Love. Love. Many of the people we are praying for, we don't love them. So the gift cannot flow because only love can endorse it. We are praying because we want them to come and testify that it was when Bishop Koti laid hands on me, that's when. So they will come and say, I went to this church, it didn't happen. I went to this church, it didn't happen. But as Koti met me, then Koti will now do like this. Did you listen to that testimony? It's never from love. I give you one more minute. Steer love in my heart. Let me love as you love. Let Let me love as you love, O God.
Transformation is sure by the Word of God. To be a kingdom partner with AMI as we advance God's agenda, contact us at 080-35-234-762 or send us an email to anakazopartnership@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/anakazomissioninternational.ami. Join us on our Telegram channel at Anakazo Mission International. You can also download more of our messages on our Telegram channel. God bless you.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For inquiries, please call +233-26767-6055. +233-26767-6055. Or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.